Now, my guest this morning, I want to call him Superman, but his actual name is Lawrence Brophy. He's an 88-year-old grandfather of five who has just become the oldest person to cycle 874 miles from Land's End to John O'Groats. If that's not incredible enough, he had to do it twice after realising he wasn't old enough to get the record the first time. That is just brilliant. Good morning, Lawrence.
Sorry, I'm just laughing about your description of me. Good morning, yes, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine.
I can't believe what you've done and the fact that you did it twice. So tell me about the first time. Did you do it a year previously? You were 87, were you, when you did it the first time?
Oh, yes. Well, by the time, about a fortnight before I did the ride, I discovered that I would not be in fact the oldest man, but I thought, well, I'll do it anyway, and so become one of the two oldest, which was something to go for. But then I instantly made plans to do it again this year to seize the title, shall I say. Not that I'm that desperate for titles. The previous record holder was Donald Wells, and he did it on a Brompton cycle, you know, one of these little folding bikes.
Okay.
Well, I think even if I'm now claiming to be the oldest, I think he still has the crown for the oldest crazy man who would do it on a Brompton bicycle. So I'm quite willing to share, if there is any title, to share it with him.
Yes.
Or even give him all the credit, I don't mind. I'm not fussed about being the oldest, but it was just something for a personal thing for me to aim for.
Yes, wonderful. So are you, before you did all of this, were you a keen cyclist? Do you cycle a lot anyway?
No. No, 20 years ago, I started doing these desert races after doing the London Marathon, and that began to seem a bit samey after I'd done it 3 years in a row. I did the Marathon des Sables, and then there's an American company, Racing the Planet, that's it, and they organised races in China, the Gobi Desert, the Sahara, the Eastern Sahara in Egypt, and in the Atacama Desert. So up till about 2010, I was saving up money in order to do those races. Just walking for me. You know, the elite athletes would run and fight for the medals, but I was just happy to complete the walk, as it were.
But to do something
it's when that got too much for me. Well, it didn't get too much for me, but they refused to accept my application to do the races, telling me I was too old.
Really? Oh, so, wow, yes. What a shame. So, just describe what it was like. I mean, walking on sand, I think most people will know that can be hard work in itself, but doing it in the extreme heat in a desert, I mean, what was that like?
Well, actually, it's not on sand, because think of health and safety. You have to be able to get vehicles along the whole length of the course. So a whole course couldn't be on sand. They usually just had one day on sand, just for the experience. But mostly we were walking on hard ground, yes. So it wasn't this soft sand all the time.
But in the heat?
That's something else that people don't understand. I remember that in the Gobi Desert, no, it wasn't, it was a Sahara race in Egypt, the temperature got up to 51.5 degrees, which is about 122 degrees Fahrenheit. But there was no discomfort because you do sweat. I'm sure you'd have to sweat, but the sweat evaporates immediately because the air is so hot and dry, so you don't feel any discomfort at all.
Wow.
So it's really less uncomfortable than in England on a sweaty summer's day.
Yes. Oh, interesting. So with the cycling then, you say you weren't a big cyclist before.
I've always had a bike, just for getting about on, going shopping.
But doing a long journey such as this, I mean, the first thing that I think of is how sore your bottom can be from doing a lot of bike riding.
Oh, no, I did plenty of research beforehand, and I had padded I think I had just padded shorts for the first one, but by the time the second ride this last year, I discovered padded undershorts. Wow. Imagine that.
Life-changing, were they?
Well, very comfortable, yeah. I had no problem at all with, soreness, believe it or not. Although I might have been riding for 10 or 12 hours every day.
Wow. And the other thing, of course, anybody who's done a bit of cycling, it's a whole different ball game to be cycling uphill compared to cycling downhill or cycling on flat. Did you have much uphill?
Well, if you think about the mathematics of it, there's as much uphill as downhill.
Yeah.
I did an awful lot of getting off the bike and pushing because I haven't got the leg strength of, shall we say, a younger man.
Yeah, oh, good for you.
I did an awful lot of pushing, yeah.
So how long did it take?
I'm not sure the exact number of days, but about 3 weeks.
Wow. Amazing. And did you plan the trip before you went? Did you know exactly where you were going to stay along the way and all of that?
No plans where to stay because the intention was to sleep rough. So I just took a sleeping bag and a bivy bag and just slept on the verge very often.
My goodness.
On the side of the road. The advantage of that is wake up early in the morning and get back on the bike.
Yes.
Whereas if I was in a B&B, I'll just stay and have a breakfast.
Yes.
And then it might be 10 o'clock before I get out on the road.
Absolutely.
So sleeping rough is a means of giving more time for the actual cycling so that I don't have to rush.
Yes.
I was able to take my time and just bootle along.
So what do your...
Put the hours in.
What did your friends and family think of what you're doing? Do they all think you're completely mad?
Well, one way of putting it is to say nobody offers to come with me.
No. You're on your own. Oh,
yeah.
They must be so proud of you, though.
I think they think I do crazy things, so they accept it now.
Oh, I bet they're very proud of you.
I just wonder what I'm going to do next year.
Yes, and what are you going to do next year?
It'd be a bit boring to do Lanzarote into Johnny Coates again, wouldn't it? So I've got to think of some little extra that makes it special.
Do you think you might...
I'm working on it, but
yeah.
I can't tell you yet.
Will it be something to do with cycling, do you think? Because you could go across Europe, couldn't you?
At my age, that's all I can offer.
It's pretty good, let me tell you. How about doing a cycling trip across Europe? That could be good.
Yes, it would be good. It would be good, but it's sort of... that would require too much planning, I think, because I'm not... Not really very organisational. I did lots of research for this last trip. I even had a list of all the food outlets on my route in all the village stores and supermarkets. But then in the end, I didn't bother to take the list with me. So just relied on coming across a food outlet when I needed one, which more or less happened.
Yes.
If you stick to the main roads.
Oh.
So Europe, no, I really... well, that'd be too expensive as well, wouldn't it? I don't know, much more expense involved.
So you also raised a lot of money for charity when you did this?
Yeah, so ever since I started doing the London Marathon back in the 1990s, I've tried to raise some money for different charities.
Great.
I discovered that, you see, in applying to do the race, because usually on the... application form that you fill in, they usually ask what charity are you supporting. So I felt guilty. Oh, I must support a charity.
So what charity did you choose?
Well, I went to the local hospital because they'd had a raising money for a scanner appeal, but they told me that that appeal had been closed the day previously. But they gave me the address of an organisation here in Bridgend, which was for disabled children and their families. So I thought, oh, yeah, that sounds a good one. So
oh, yes.
For quite a number of years, I raised money for them.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's been a huge honour to chat with you, Lawrence Brophy. I think you're amazing, and I hope
no,
you're...
No, don't you. No, you must say.
I must say.
Everybody's amazing in some way. It's just what
yes.
I do.
Yes, no, absolutely. But I think it's incredible what you've been doing and what you're continuing to do. And it's lovely to speak with you. And keep it up. Keep it going. You're an inspiration.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's a heavy load to carry here.
Oh, thank you, Lawrence. You take care.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.